Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Good Wednesday to you all. Good Wednesday to you all. It's a punt day back here on the show. I think we may have three of those in a row coming up, which is pretty good because this is a topic that I personally feel like I can learn along with all of you. As a roto-first guy, I don't do a great deal of punting on draft night. Most of the punting I do happens partway through a season in what I just call the give-up. It's not a term that's caught on, but that's okay. I am Dan Vaspers. Welcome to Fantasy NBA Today, at Dan Vaspers, if you want to follow me on Twitter. And we are joined today, as I flick him on the screen over here on the YouTubes, by the mighty Rhett Bauer, the head of Dynasty Content at Sports Ethos. Also, one hell of a model American. That's a line from Ace. That's a line from Ace Ventura, I believe. He is at Rhett_Bauer on Twitter. Rhett, good morning to you and happy lunch break to you.
Yes, thank you. I am doing great with my lunch breaks and filling that with fantasy basketball as much as possible. Which, who needs to eat, you know? Like, let's just let mock draft fill me up.
Look, if you want to have like a corn dog in the middle of the episode, I got no problem with that. Can somebody bring you something? No?
You know that I have corn dogs in the freezer, too.
Do you?
You know that I have... Absolutely.
That's the
joke. Hey, what do you want for dinner? Do you want chicken nuggets or you want corn dogs? Like, those are the options.
Yeah. So, I have a guilty admission here, and Brew, if he watches this episode, Aaron Brewski, our founder here at Sports Ethos, will get a good chuckle. I have corn dogs in the freezer, and I had them from before we had children, so those were actually for me. And pretty
Not
much
the same bag, I hope.
I know I've gone through a couple since then, okay. I think. But I think they stay good pretty much forever. What's the rule on freezers? Does anybody know?
I think the fact that they can stay good forever means that they were never good in the first place, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's true. What's in those things? But damn it, they're delicious.
Oh, no argument here.
Shout out to Hot Dog on a Stick if they want to sponsor a podcast. Because, like, look, if you're in a mall, you better end up with a damn hot dog on a stick. But anyway, let's get into the stuff here. Everybody always yells at me because I talk about dumb crap off to the side. But we're talking corn dogs, man. It's corn dogs day on the pod. Rhett, you got a big old brain, so let's start picking it a little bit here. You, when I threw a note in our Slack thread at Sports Ethos, you and Mark, who we talked to on Monday's show and actually is listening right now, as evidenced by his comment in the chat room, calls... read a madman who picked Wemby 1 in a league. We'll get to that, I think, at some point. You said you often punt free throw, but also often punt threes. So I thought, all right, we already talked punt free throw, so let's get into punt threes a little bit today. Again, at Rhett_Bauer, in case you missed it while I was rambling about corn dogs earlier. Punting threes is not one I've ever done on purpose. It's not obscure, necessarily, but it's not sort of one of the big two or three, wouldn't you say? It's usually like percentages, turnovers are probably the big three, and then, honestly, I don't know what comes after that. Maybe it's threes. What's the argument for doing it?
Really, the argument is you just kind of fall into it. Like, I think that's really what it is.
That's like, how I do everything in life.
Yeah, exactly. It just sort of happens. You don't plan for it. But basically, it's funny. When you look at the first round of most mock drafts, about half the players are not positive contributors in threes. Hmm. You got Jokic, Embiid, KD, Anthony Davis, Giannis, and then Shea. That's six.
Yeah, that's half.
Like, that's half of a 12-team first round. So you can start punting threes right off rip, but I don't think you necessarily need to, because as you get into the middle of the rounds, there's going to be a bunch of players that are just knocking down threes. The second round's full of them with like Booker, Mitchell, Kyrie, if he makes it there, like stuff like that. So punting threes is more about probably trying to keep your field goal percentage good while also still scoring, right? Because if you got a guy that takes a ton of threes, you got your Fred VanVleet, you got your Terry Rozier's, Klay Thompson, like all those dudes, they're going to struggle to keep their field goal percentage up. And so if you're trying not to punt, either percentage, really, you just kind of take threes out of the equation and go for guys who score a decent amount but don't necessarily hurt either percentage.
So at what juncture do you then make the call, okay, I guess I'm punting threes now? If it's not the first round, how far away, how far down the line do you need to go?
I think it kind of depends on where you are in your draft, because if you are at the front end and you, let's say you just pick number one and you just get Jokic, I think that you could probably look at like if you're on the turn, you know, 23, 24, and you can get Jimmy to pair with Jokic, it's like, okay, you're just not going to be able to compete in threes. That's just not going to happen. But if you are at the other end, so let's say you're at like 9, 10, 11, 12, and you get a Kevin Durant or an Anthony Davis, and then you pair that back on the other side with, like, I don't know, Sabonis, that you could probably still offset that a little bit, maybe not with AD and Sabonis, but usually in the third or fourth round, I would say, is when you can really look at it and be like, okay, I'm likely going to be punting threes, so I can kind of take that out of the equation. But that's not the time when you want to 100% just like forget about threes altogether, because then your scoring is really going to struggle. And as we saw with my mock that we did the other day, if you do not pay all of the attention to your draft, your team is going to end up very bad and you're going to be good at field goal percentage. And that's basically it.
So you talked about scoring in there. How do you avoid the pitfalls of being a bad scoring team if you're not hunting threes? Do you have to, is that something you do need to be like pretty cognizant of as you're moving through the draft?
Yeah, I think so. And really it kind of depends on if you can get good scoring with good percentages on both of them. Like you got your Kawhis, your Jimmys, your DeMars, KD, Booker, like all those guys in the first three rounds or so, then you can be okay with taking some lower end scorers like a Wembanyama or a Chet Holmgren and guys like that who are going to help you in other categories. But ultimately, I think it comes down to you might end up punting it later, like, cause you might end up going for like a Draymond Green later or the Chris Pauls of the world. And then you end up with an old man squad and you just accidentally ended up punting threes and points, which is okay as long as your percentages, assists, steals, and probably rebounds aren't too bad. But if you start getting too crazy with it and you don't get enough oomph in those other categories, then you've won four and that usually doesn't work out well in a head-to-head nine cat league.
Yeah, I think you need more than four.
If my math is right, you might need
one extra one there. So what about the free throw side of things? Because that was something you had mentioned off air, and I think I hinted at it earlier.
Yeah.
If you're handling points, does that also kind of sometimes handle the free throw side, or do you have to tweak it a little?
I mean, it depends as well. I think if you can start off the draft with a Jokic, Embiid, SGA, then your free throw volume that's a really good start.
Right.
So you can take a Pascal Siakam later, who's not super great in threes, but does score, rebound, assist, and get some defensive stats. But what you cannot do is if you start with like an Anthony Davis, DeMontis Sabonis combo, those are your only two negative free throw shooters, like for most of the draft, like most of the top 100, I would say, because you just, at that point, you should probably just punt free throw percentage, depending on what your third and fourth rounds look like on the turn. But you just cannot afford to, I'll make up free throw percentage later, because that's just not, we know that's not how it works.
Yeah, there's really only a couple of guys after the second round that can really put a positive dent. Is that a thing? Positive dent? A positive impact on your free throw percent? And I think you already mentioned DeMar. Besides him, dries up pretty fast after that second round.
Well, especially for dudes who don't kill your field goal percentage, because then you're getting into another issue.
Right. Now you're suddenly like kind of okay at all at like eight or nine categories, but not really all that good in any of them, which sounds fine for Roto, but not so great in head-to-head. And plus, this is a damn punt episode today, so that takes us way off track. I had a question in the middle of there, and then it jumped back and it jumped out of my head, and I'm hoping that it'll jump back in here. I think it had to do with, I remember what it was now. So, you're starting, like, if you're, let's assume you're at the back end of a draft, because typically that's where more punting happens. If you're at the front end of a draft, you can often take a first rounder that doesn't force you immediately into a punt build. Great. That life is good. But, you know, if you have the 10th pick and all of those amazing video game numbers dudes in the top four are gone, sometimes you have to try to build your advantage against an opponent by changing the way the board looks. And that's effectively what punting is. So let's say you are at pick 10 and AD and KD are floating around up there and you decide to go Anthony Davis because Kevin Durant is with two high volume guys in Phoenix and his spider legs have been failing him lately. By the way, I should note, I love both of those guys for Roto, but figured I would just make an argument for head-to-head here today. And now you've got, like, Ant and Sabonis sitting there for you on the way back, or do you reach down farther? It feels like the path of least resistance is what you were talking about and just punting two things at that point, right?
Yeah, so I've done, since my failure of a mock with you yesterday, I've done four others. And I have done a variety of things with them because that's just how I like to do things. And at this, in the second round, I picked 10th and I got Kevin Durant 10th. And on the way back, I didn't reach for a punt threes player. I don't really need to with KD, but even if I had taken Anthony Davis, I wouldn't have reached all the way down and taken Jimmy Butler at, what would that have been, 15?
Yeah,
I don't think I would have taken Jimmy Butler at 15. Like, I know he's not getting back to me, but I don't know if I'd really want to pair those durability concerns together with my first two picks,
right?
Especially with Dame maybe coming into town and that maybe impacting Jimmy's assist count. And then you've, like, if you've got Anthony Davis and Jimmy Butler, you're going to need to hunt assists the rest of the time, and that's going to get tough without killing your field goal percentage. So I've kind of been looking at it like, okay, I'm just going to take the two best players. Like, even if I have a Giannis, which I did in our failure of a mock, the two picks that I was actually paying attention to, I took Giannis and then I took Devin Booker, which was very on purpose because it's like, hey, high volume scoring, not going to kill my field goal percentage, decent free throw percentage, decent all across the board. And then you can kind of lean into your punt on the third and fourth round picks. But I don't think there is like an elite pairing in the second round with any of these guys for like just punting threes, right? Like, I don't think there's any way to look at it and say, okay, yes, I'm definitively punting threes right now, unless you are also punting free throw percentage, in which case that gets into the Sabonis and likely Anthony Edwards combinations.
So at the risk of taking us in a weird circle here, how do you know when it's time?
Yeah, using draft trackers is probably a good way to do it.
Which
Sports Ethos has you covered.
Nice,
there we go.
Nice segue.
Yep.
Sports Ethos does have a draft tracker, and I will tell everybody about it after Rhett's answer to this question.
Yes. So, but you don't want to draft purely based on the draft tracker because that's a surefire way to make sure your team is not actually going to win, because you are going to look at categories that you're weak in and maybe not necessarily the scarcity of those categories as you're drafting. So I think if you're looking at it and you've got, I don't know, it depends on the volume of the free throw shooting or the threes too, but usually first three or four rounds, that's when I'm taking best player available, unless, like I said, you've got a Giannis, which it's really hard to make that uphill climb on the free throw percentage for him.
Yeah, it feels like that one you probably should just let it go.
Yeah, exactly. But with guys like Jokic and Embiid, like, they're not so negative that you need to say, okay, I'm just absolutely punting threes right off rip. But the board just falls in such a random way once you get into the fourth, fifth, sixth round that you kind of have to decide then when you're looking at the value on the board. If the top, you know, five options are all like guards or bigs that are just so like heavy into three or four categories while being average or below average or tanking some others, that's kind of the point when I'm looking at like, okay, I'm going to hurt something right now anyways. So I might as well lock in on these, you know, dominate these three or four categories, be pretty good in one or two others, and then just kind of build my team out from there.
I did promise I would tell everybody about the Sports Ethos Draft Tracker after that response, so I'm going to use this opportunity to remind everybody that, again, I am at Dan Vespris, and we are talking to the great Rhett Bauer, Rhett_Bauer. The Draft Tracker, a link I just posted in the YouTube chat room. You can learn more about it there. It is the first ever live draft tracker at Sports Ethos. Right now, the projection engine in the Draft Tracker is the sort of big box site consensus projections on players, which is still a good thing to have as you're working through a draft. But Starting on October the 4th, 1 week from today, Ethos 360 subscribers get access to the B150 and the projections within. That will be loaded into a new version of the Draft Tracker, so you can actually run your draft off the Brewski 150 at that point. And basically any subscriber, whatever day they get access to the Brewski 150, that's the day they get access to the upgraded Draft Tracker with the projections built in. So that's going to be a pretty damn cool tool. Sports Ethos, now not just content and tools. It's a revolutionary day here at sportsethos.com. Go check those out immediately. So here's what I want to pivot into now, because what I try to do with this show more than anything is simplify fantasy basketball. And I think it's really easy to kind of get lost in the 9,000 different ways we can all do stuff, which is very true and very accurate. But I think you also need to be extraordinarily good at fantasy basketball to process all of those things at the same time as they're happening. So let's set up more of a hypothetical example, Rhett, of someone that goes into a particular draft now very intentionally punting threes, which I know you said at the beginning, probably don't just do that right out of the gate. Like, wait until you see what player falls to you in the first round. But let's say you've got the 10th pick. Let's just set it up that way. You're probably not going to have access to any of the guys that are sort of consensus top seven, which, like, yeah, you could potentially, Shea probably makes the most sense as the punt threes guy in that mix, because you get a guard that's also not very good at shooting three-pointers, as opposed to a big man not shooting threes. That's not that big of a deal. That's, like, you kind of expect them not to make threes. You make up for that later with a guard. So excluding Shea, the top of the board, you're in pretty good shape to, like, attack this category. But end of the first round, like you talked about, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis are two of the two examples that are in that range that are not particularly prolific three-point shooters. Giannis is another one. His draft position is bouncing all over the map, but he's also in that mix. Booker, as you get into the early second round, along with Sabonis, like, there's kind of a chunk of players in that mix. So let's just assume now someone is going for it. Threes, I'm kicking them right to the curb out of the gate. What is kind of your preferred road if you can take it? And this is a hard question. First round, is it Anthony Davis in that case?
I think probably so. Because the thing that you're going to need to do if you're just dead set on punting threes is you're still going to have to be competitive in assists and steals, because you're going to need probably both percentages. You might end up being good at rebounds and blocks, and so that'd be four. And so you have to win one of steals or assists after that, assuming that you're not going to be great at points. If you can somehow pull off both percentages, points, assists, and steals,
congratulations.
Yeah, I was going to say, your draft was probably 11 auto drafters and you were able to get value the entire way. I don't see that being possible. So if you just decide, Anthony Davis, I'm doing it, I'm punting threes, you're probably going to want to take guards that have okay field goal percentage but good assists and steals for the next two or three rounds. Because you know in that middle group, you're at the turn, right? So you know in that middle group, there are all of those bigs who get rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage. They're all there. You've got your Goberts, your Capellas, your Mark Williams, your Şengün kind of gets some assists and steals in there. You've got Walker Kessler. You've got Miles Turner kind of fits into threes, but like Evan Mobley, another one. There's so many bigs in those middle rounds.
So many.
Where if you can just stock up on those guard stats, it's going to look weird if you're using a draft tracker and it's like, man, I'm really good at all these threes. Like, why don't I? You're building all of those stats up that you need to win, knowing that later on you are going to absolutely tank them by just taking players who do not contribute in them whatsoever. So if you're looking at it, you're like, okay, I'm going to take Anthony Davis, and then you can probably take let's just say Sabonis, because he does get assists. He doesn't really help your free throw percentage there, but then third round somehow you're able to get a Kawhi, a Jimmy, a Siakam, but probably kills your free throw percentage as well. DeJounte Murray, there. That's my guy.
You do love DeJounte. You're a historic DeJounte fan.
I do, yeah.
Is there a jersey behind you of it? I'm looking behind you.
This one right here. It's a San Antonio.
Oh, there you go. Murray 5. There it is.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That their jersey color is worth keeping up there, even though he's not on the team anymore. So
it's a nice little wall, by the way. I don't mean to derail our discussion here, but wait.
Thank you.
After this answer, we'll describe it for the folks that are listening but not watching.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. And so essentially, you need to stack up those guards who are going to get you decent points, decent assists, decent steals. And then you're going to really pivot into those bigs with your Claxtons, your Walker Kesslers, your Jared Allens, your Shingoons, your Goberts. And then later on in the draft, you can kind of supplement whatever you might have ended up weak at, whether it be steals, probably not going to be able to get assists. But just looking at things like that where it's like, okay, I know for sure. I guess you can't say for sure because you're at the turn, but you can likely end up reaching and getting some stats that you know you need to win in a way that you probably wouldn't if you weren't dead set on punting.
That's a really interesting thing that I think people that are punting would most often go the other way on that. I do want to talk about your wall of jerseys here in a minute, though, but I don't want to let that one thing go because you said something super interesting. Most people that are punting are attacking the categories that they want to win right out of the chute. And you're actually saying it's more important to attack the categories that are going to be harder for you to win in your punt build early, because the ones that you want, the ones that you're going to get later are much easier to get, and you can be more free to just go get them early. That's very counterintuitive, but also extraordinarily helpful news.
Yeah, so like it seems counterintuitive, but then if you look at it, it's like, okay, I'm just going to punt threes this whole time. I'm going to go to Basketball Monster, I'm going to punt threes, and I'm going to look at the top players. Like, you get, if you start taking just all of these guys, you are going to end up horrible at points. You are likely going to miss out on free throw percentage. You are likely going to miss out on assists, and then you are
steals
likely
going to,
like, you're already giving up threes. That's four. And are you going to end up getting those steals if you don't have guards that get assists? No.
And like, are you just not? What happens to turnovers? Random fluctuations, like,
right? Are you? Do you want to count on turn? Now, I've definitely built some dynasty teams that count on turnovers against the top teams, but that's when you know what the rosters are likely going to be year to year. So you don't want to do that in a regular 9-cat redraft league. But it's just, if you end up only drafting guys that are good in a punt three, you will likely hurt yourself in categories that are impossible to make up once you get later in the drafts. Because like we said, there's all those bigs in the middle rounds. They might go quickly, but you're getting Chris Paul in the sixth, and that is your only guy who's going to be like elite above average assist player. And that's it. You're done.
And you're not going to get him because he's going to be on my team anyway.
No, he's not. Not when I'm in there.
We're fighting over Chris Paul now. Brief break in fantasy talk because I need to see all the names behind Rhett's head. Okay. Let me see if I can make Rhett bigger on the screen here.
Oh, here we go.
That's a little bit bigger. Okay.
Pacers.
Yeah, give me the walkthrough here.
Jairus Walker, Benedict Mathurin, Tyrese Halliburton, Miles Turner, which I am very proud of because I got the Miles Turner jersey. I think it was like 2021 deadline when we still had Sabonis, and so they were like, oh, he's definitely getting traded. I got this for $17. Then I got a Halliburton Team USA, Paul George Hickory jersey, which some people hate, but I'm from Indiana. It's a Hoosiers movie.
I was wondering what that one was.
Yeah, a Jermaine O'Neal Flojo, which is awesome. A Larry Bird like finals jersey that I won from a gym that opened up. It was like a raffle thing. I haven't hung it up yet because it's too nice. Jaylen Brown, DeJounte Murray, Markelle Fultz, Jaden McDaniels, Bam Adebayo, Trey Murphy, and Anthony Edwards.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I was having trouble seeing the three was a McDaniels there. I had to zoom in a little bit to get that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
Especially because the lighting in here sucks, as you can't really tell that that's like super lime green.
I couldn't tell what the four was up top either, but that's the Halliburton Team USA.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So two Hallies. That's your one duplicate up there?
Yep. Yep. So, and that will probably be the only duplicate. I just thought the Team USA jersey is so cool.
So you feel pretty good about Hallie this season?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I was telling you, I think Halliburton has a better argument to go three than going anywhere but four.
Yeah, I'm super high on him this year also, and I kind of faded him last year, and I was pretty nervous for like the first 2.5 months that I had gotten that one way wrong, and then he didn't play.
And
then the second half happened, and everything landed. Okay, so, man, I love that point about taking the stuff, because you want to make sure the stuff that... The other thing, by the way, on that point about taking the categories that are going to be harder for you to get later in a particular punt build, is that if you don't, you end up in one of these, like, punt small, punt big type teams, which I know people are doing them now, but the margin for error on that is extraordinarily narrow, because if you lose even one of the five categories you're hunting, you lose. First of all, that's how math works. But also, it's really hard to get anywhere better than like a 4 seed when you're trying to win 5-4 every single week. And so you got to have an opportunity to win 6 or 7 categories sometimes if you want to get yourself up into the upper bracket of your fantasy playoffs, I would think. But anyway, sorry, that was sort of tangential thought.
No, you have no margin for error for injury. Your positions, if you decide to just ignore what you aren't trying to be good at, your positions are going to suck. Because
then you're
going to be like, oh, shoot, I need a point guard late. Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie is going to be your starting point guard in a punt threes. Like, that. You, if you just neglect that position the whole time, you are really, really going to struggle to fill out a starting lineup that actually makes sense.
Yeah, and so you're going to get beat on games played because of that.
Exactly. Or like the efficiency of those games played, right? Like yesterday in a mock that I was doing, I started with Embiid, got Kawhi, and then I think I took, I don't remember.
That
exactly
is a
what it
saucy
was,
pairing, by the way. I love it for Roto.
It was an auto pick because I would have taken Jimmy and then probably Kawhi, but more than happy with it. So there was a pick where I already had two center only players in Embiid and somebody else. I don't remember who. And I was stuck between like Walker Kessler or Chet Holmgren. Punting threes, I already knew I was going to try to do that. But Chet Holmgren has power forward center. Walker Kessler is center only. I am not leaving my 5th or 6th round with 3 center only players. That is going to make your team so different. Like, even if it was 2 starting centers, 2 util spots, that makes it so hard to fill out the rest of your roster, because then you are relying on replacement level players to start at your position constantly.
All right, I'll put you on the spot a little bit here. I think this is the hardest question, because again, it does depend a bit on where you end up drafting. So rather than ask you a question that I know a lot of shows try to like really hammer in on, like 12 packs of players, I think maybe a better thing would be to ask about like chunks of the draft. So we've talked a lot about the top chunk and players that fit into this punt threes build. Who are the guys that make sense in kind of like the 25 to 50 range and or beyond that, as you're kind of working your way through who actually fits the mold, other than the really obvious ones, which is like the centers that don't take any.
Right. Yeah. Unashamed to say DeJounte Murray makes a lot of sense in that range, because he's a player who doesn't rely on threes to have a lot of value. He's going to get you those assists, the steals, good rebounds for a guard, not going to kill your percentages, and sneaky low turnovers, which I think actually matters a lot more than what people seem to think.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if kind of another tangent, if a team punts field goal percentage, they're going to be elite in threes, points, assists, steals, and free throw percentage. That is 5 categories. So you are going to struggle to beat a team that's hardcore punting field goal percentage unless you can match them in something, and then you are likely going to rely on turnovers. So I'm not using that as like a huge, like, oh, get guys that have low turnovers, but there is an argument for that in the middle rounds, is especially if you're trying to build something that makes sense.
I found you can sometimes club those teams in steals. That's the one where you can kind of sneak through, because like they take these assist scoring guys who are at like 0.9, 1.0 steals. If you end up with a couple of those 1.6 guys, that's how you sneak in. And they had this plan all season long, but they had the one little weak spot. That's how you take them down.
Yep, exactly. So, your guards like your De'Aaron Fox, DeJounte Murray, Pascal Siakam, if you aren't already bad at free throw percentage. You might be, but DeMar is an awesome one. I think a guy like Drew is an okay one, because he does get threes, but also those assists and those steals with a decent free goal percentage are going to be good. But if you end up not getting Anthony Davis and you really need the blocks, this is the range of the draft where you need to like hammer it, because you can't afford to be punting threes and also not be good at blocks, because you're just like, you lose essentially. And so then you really need to go after, and this is where we were talking, it's like, I'm fine reaching for a Jared Allen, for a Chet Holmgren, for a Rudy Gobert, probably not like reaching for, but guys in that ilk that are going to get you close-ish to two blocks a game. Even a Brook Lopez, even though he does hit threes, even though his field goal percentage isn't like elite, you need that category, right? So you can't really choose to ignore that. Like, it's not gonna, like, it's just gonna work itself out later, which it might with like Mitchell Robinson, Mark Williams, Onyeka Okongwu, but I don't want to rely on something like that where it is a swing category for you to win or lose a weekly matchup.
Once you've taken care of the big man stats, so the path here is, you got your first rounder. We're assuming it's Anthony Davis for this discussion.
Yep.
Just walk with us, people. We're taking you down a path. Second, third, fourth rounds, you're looking more at shoring up the stuff that's going to be really hard to find later to make sure you have five or six strong categories in this build. Fifth, sixth area, it sounds like you're looking more at the centers now. You finally sort of polishing this category off, or even the eighth round if you wanted, like you mentioned, Mitch Rob, Okongwu, guys like that. Yeah. What about the late parts of a draft? What are you typically still hunting in a punt threes build that you can actually help with at, you know, the 100 mark or whatever?
It's probably going to end up being assists, okay, right? Like, you're probably going to need that Tyus Jones, that Markel Fultz, maybe a Scoot Henderson if you really want to.
Oh, Markel's interesting there.
Yeah. Markel, as you can see by the jersey behind me, is another one of my guys. I'm a huge, huge fan of Markel. Chris Paul is another one that we mentioned is going to be good. Austin Reeves, kind of sneaky in there. Doesn't get you steals, but does get you the points and does hit some threes, but has good field goal percentage and is actually one of the few guys like in that range who is a positive contributor in free throw percentage, not just has a positive free throw percentage, right? Like, he influences that category, right, on a weekly basis because he actually gets to the line. And so it's likely going to be the guard stats, right? Because you are going to think you stocked up enough in those first three, four, whatever rounds, then you're going to take a massive hit. Then you're going to try to kind of claw your way back into it. And so you can look at guys like Tobias Harris, I think, is a good one, even though he hits threes, good boards, decent assists. James Harden situation up in the air. DeAnthony Melton, not great field goal percentage.
I do love me DeAnthony Melton. That one.
Those steals, though, is going to be fantastic. And then it kind of, I get into flyer territory big time. Once I have my starting lineup filled out, mostly I'm taking the Asar Thompsons, the Amen Thompsons, the Jairus Walkers, the Ben Simmons. Like, I'm just shooting for the stars when those starting spots are filled out. And then you kind of get into whether they hit or not. And you can go back into streaming when you actually know how your team is contributing or how they're actually finishing on a weekly basis.
So it sounds like, and this is kind of, I think, the last point that I sometimes struggle with, which is, when do you go make sure you get the guys that you basically can't live without? Now, in this build, the guys you basically can't live without are probably the centers you were talking about between like 50 and 75, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that does depend. Like, if you get Anthony Davis first, you could be okay to go with like alternating big man,
right,
guard in those middle rounds. If you get, you know, if you go for Shea and then you get like a Jaren Jackson or Miles Turner, you like that elite block guy, then you can also adjust. But mostly it is going to be those bigs, I think, as long as you built out your team well enough on the assist, steals, points categories to start off. The bigs are going to be where you really need to hammer that home in the mid rounds.
If you're in a punt threes build and you don't end up with Ben Simmons at the end of your draft, will you have the most regret or the least regret?
I think it's going to be the most. Like, I just don't.
You think
what is the downside?
Yeah, there's none.
You missed a pick in the hundreds? Okay. Like,
yeah, there really isn't anything there. No. Rhett, what are you working on right now?
Way too much.
Besides too much. Children.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm working on updating all of my dynasty rankings, including the tiers and the tables and the list that all of that comes together in three different formats that make it easy or more intuitive for people to garner what that interest or what the value should be. Working on a couple other tools that might be useful for redraft people. It might not be, it might just be purely dynasty, but, we'll see if I can actually get some time to work on that stuff to completion, or if it's just going to be something that I keep banging my head against a wall for the next 6 months until the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can get done when you're running like a children's fruit bars back and forth from room to room. Yeah. It's very hard to focus with the that level of interruption. All right, you got like 3 minutes before you got to go. Sell my listeners on why they should try a dynasty league. You can sell me too if you want.
It gets you way more familiar with the league, and it makes you way better at your redraft because you were paying attention last year to silly season way more than anybody who was playing redraft, because no one cares about redraft silly season because they're likely either out of the playoffs or they're so annoyed with silly season that they just stopped playing even though they were in the playoffs. And so like you were paying attention when guys were going off like a Zach Collins, or so if you get in a redraft league that drafts super, super early before all of this stuff is kind of put out there, it's like, hey, you know what? Zach Collins might be in a good spot. You knew that in April. And so that, I think, really matters, especially for those later picks. Like I was saying, you know, the players that should have a great opportunity to blow up, especially those rookies who are kind of in the middle of the hype train, not like the Wembanyamas or the Scoot Hendersons.
Rhett, you are officially off the hot seat, and I know you have to get out of your lunch break too. Thank you so much for taking the time to work us through this punt threes build.
Of course. Thank you.
All right, we're going to send Rhett off because he's got other things to do today. You're stuck looking at my ugly mug the rest of the show. He is at Rhett underscore Bauer. He runs our Dynasty content at Sports Ethos. And the gentleman that you heard from on Monday, who has been tuning in and enjoying and throwing some comments in the YouTube chat, Mark Camaro, he is also part of our Dynasty division. Kind of interesting that you got our first two punt shows from the Dynasty guys. However, that will not continue, because tomorrow we're going to be talking to Keston Paul on the show. He's going to be doing a little bit of kind of like a punt dabbling episode. That is to say, we're going to get into kind of how to work your way through punts in a lot of different ways, not necessarily like keying in, although he did say that he can do an assists or steals, or kind of a combo assist steals punt, which is like a kind of a point guard punt sort of deal. We're going to talk to Tim on Friday. He's going to be working us through my favorite punt, which is punt points. Nothing flips a board quite like a punt points build flips the board, because it is the category that everybody is targeting in fantasy sports. And if you can pull that one off and flip the board, it is, in my opinion, certainly on the roto side, one of the easiest paths to winning a league, because you're drafting from basically a completely different rank list than everybody else. You're barely targeting the same players outside of like the top two rounds, and it is chef's kiss when it all comes together. Yes, there are some pitfalls to a punt points. You have to make sure that you're getting enough threes. You have to make sure that you have the guys that can weigh in heavily enough on the percentages categories, because like you could punt points and take a bunch of guys that can't shoot that are great at threes and boards and assists and steals and blocks, but you got to make sure you're doing more than that on the roto side. So if you can take care of the percentages early and then just lean into guys that do everything besides score later on, you'll get all of them. That's the cool part about the punt points build, is that you're barely ever fighting people for the players that are either on the wire or in your draft. So we'll get to that. That'll be on Friday's show. We'll try to get some mocks going in between. I think we'll get a mock going tomorrow. I don't know if we'll have time to get one on Friday. I will do my, what's the expression? I'll do my level best to get a mock going on Thursday and Friday, since Yahoo did just rearrange their board again, and I want to make sure we continue to hit that. I didn't tell any of you guys to like or subscribe, which is not cool, because Rhett's appearance deserves a like and a subscription and a five-star review if you're checking it out on the traditional podcast channels, which I know the vast majority of you still are doing. But you can always come hang out with us over on YouTube, throw stuff in the chat room. Sometimes we do questions at the end. Usually on the mock drafts, I'll answer some questions at the end of the show. And as I mentioned earlier, do check out one of our subscriptions at Sports Ethos. I'll say this. I realize that your dollars are very important because dollars as a whole are not that easy to come by these days. I have a limited number of dollars myself. If you are someone who is considering a subscription this year, I would say that there are far more reasons this season to consider one at Sports Ethos than in years past. That's not a knock on anything we've done here before, because the B150 is the rank list to rule them all, and we still have that, and we'll have that every year because Aaron Brewski founded the damn website. The projections are built on that. Those are outstanding as well. But this season, we have a way for you guys to use that during your draft easily, and it's that draft tracker tool created by this man, the great Andre Lemos. He says, haha, I love that. That was just something we talked about earlier in the show. But Andre's available right now to help with troubleshooting if you're using it and having some any issues. He's available on Twitter as well. He's also running our Sports Ethos Leagues, which if you want to get in those, you can hit us up over on Twitter as well. But let's send everybody off to the rest of your day. Thank you with a hat tip. Go Cal Bears on the hat. With a hat tip to great Rhett Bauer. The great Rhett Bauer. I don't know why I said that with weird inflection. I think it's because I thought I was going to say a different word, and then I farted on myself. Rhett_Bauer is the handle over on Twitter. I'll make sure he's tagged and everything here. I am at Dan Bespris on social media. We are ramping up the social media, guys, and you must be on it, especially once the NBA season actually gets going. There's one other thing I was going to mention. Oh, season's less than 4 weeks away. Get your leagues organized, everybody. I need to give myself that damn advice. Again, tomorrow, we're going to be talking punt assists and or steals. We're also going to be doing a mock, and that's what you can look forward to. Please do like and subscribe on YouTube, and that will send us off into the distance here. Thanks for watching, everybody. See you later.